Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and the verses following. The verse is not unknown, and we have heard it many times in many other sermons. But tonight, I would like to look at one of the ways that we do serve God, by encouraging others. This is one of the many ways that we are serving God, and it is a way that we are strengthening the local church here. I'd like to thank all the visitors who came tonight for being here. It's an encouragement to me as well. I hope that we can all take something away from this of value. It is a lesson that we all should take to heart. And then we can apply it to our daily lives and our interactions with others outside the church as well. If you would, turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. Says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. In verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, Gerald brought this up Wednesday night, if you were here. In his class afterwards, one of the questions mentioned this verse. And I was already writing this at the time, so it gave me a chance to expand some of my points and to touch on some of the questions that were mentioned at the time. But when you say not forsaking the assembly, you could also ask, why do we assemble? What are some of the reasons that we meet here every single week? It is an example that we see in the New Testament. That's one of the reasons. But there are some others as to why we meet here every single week. When you choose not to attend, you are not encouraging. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 14, and verse 12, it says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. And down in verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. Some versions here might say for building up. So we see here one of the reasons that we meet weekly is to edify one another as well as to edify the body of Christ. And it works both ways. We need to be built up and we need to build each other up and encourage one another in the faith. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. And by doing so, we bring more glory to God in the ways that we are worshiping Him. But everyone has to do their own share, or else the local church will cease to grow and eventually lose its members over time. The primary reason for us to worship on Sunday should be to glorify God and to praise His name. But it is not just that. It involves edifying and uplifting the fellow members who are attending with you. In order to help each of us meet the goal, we have to be encouraging to others and allow ourselves to be encouraged. We meet here and sing songs of praise, and we pray to God and teach and preach. And if we turned around and walked out without saying a word to anyone, we also miss a chance to talk with like-minded people who have the same end goal in view, eternal life. Some of which may be struggling with some of the same things that we are struggling with. And some may have words of encouragement to help us through those times. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And this is what I mentioned earlier about edifying the body of Christ. We also partake of the Lord's Supper every single Sunday, as you saw a minute ago. And if we choose not to attend or make excuses for ourselves, we are missing out on the memorial of our Savior's death, burial, and resurrection, and the sacrifice that his death represented. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, as often as you meet together, do this in remembrance of me. The use of the word as before and after a single word empowers that word with a new or different meaning. So the way it is used here, the word often, it turns it into a sense of urgency. It denotes a sense of speed or haste. So the word as often as means that you cannot do it enough. And think about this. If you did it every single time that you could possibly be here on a Sunday morning for the rest of your life, it would still not be enough to honor the sacrifice that our Savior made on our behalf. Take myself, for example. If I was to remain a Christian till the day I die of old age, given the average age of life here in America, I would have a little more than 2,500 Sundays. 2,500. That is such a small number when compared to the sacrifice that was given. And it is such a small number when compared to all of eternity. It's nothing at all. It's also worth mentioning that we lose an opportunity when we're not here. During every invitation to make known to others that we need help or prayers in our lives, because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all go through struggles in our lifetimes. So what it comes down to is this: if you choose not to be here for one way or another by making excuses, you're missing out on the words of life. And I've mentioned a couple times now about excuses. That leads me to my next point: encouraging one another by not making excuses. And before I read these two verses, I would like to read a quote from George Washington Carver. He said, 99% of the failures come from people who have the habit of making excuses. And what he is saying here is that when we make an excuse, we end up purposely failing because we're not devoting enough time to what we're trying to get out of. Think about it this way. Is glorifying God and worshiping him something that you want to fail at? Is that something you're willing to fail at? I know I'm not. By failing God, we condemn our own souls. By failing in obedience and worship to him, we doom our own souls. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 4. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you should say. But he said again, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And here we see we're not alone when we make excuses here. Even Moses, when talking to God, something that none of us will get a chance to do in our lifetime, made excuses for himself to try to get out of it. And in Luke chapter 9, if you would, this verse may be very familiar to some of us. Luke chapter 9, verses 59 through 62. Start in verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you also, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." In verse 62, but Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." It is not worth the risk to excuse ourselves for worldly things. When we excuse ourselves from God's presence, it usually is for something worldly. It is very dangerous because the things that we do repeatedly become habits over time. And then, once it is a habit, we begin to invent new excuses and new reasons to feed that habit. And eventually, we could stop going to church altogether if you let it begin in the first place. When we stop going to church, we start thinking less of God and less of our souls. So it is a very dangerous thing to think of worldly things over God, because it is a downhill slope from there. And not going to church for one reason or another is not an example that we should be setting for others. Which brings me to my next point. Our example is an encouragement to those who are also outside of this assembly, who are not members here, or maybe never go to church at all, or have never been. The world is broken by sin. Anything that we can do to help it and to bring souls to Christ only serves to save more lost souls and to bring more believers into the church, both universal and local. By choosing to be here over anything else, we choose to pursue righteousness over worldliness. That is a big step for someone who has never been a Christian at all, or has never been around godly people in their lives. But it is a very easy thing to do once you realize that it has to be a choice and that it is the right choice to make. It becomes a habit towards godliness. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians 11. The first sentence is the one I referred to a minute ago. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Look at the second sentence there. It says, "You proclaim the Lord's death by remembering his memorial." But who do you proclaim it to? Well, first, we proclaim it to our fellow Christians, the ones who are here and the ones who wish to be here. But also, we are proclaiming it to the rest of the world. We are proclaiming our faith to a dark world. We are shining our light. And we need to shine our light so that they can see it and not hide it under a basket. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and place it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before all men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So we see here that we are the light of the world, and that we have to shine our light so that it may provide light to others who are in darkness. And we need to be careful that we don't wait until the last minute to spread the word or to be an example to other people. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until tomorrow to encourage someone, because you never know when it may be the right moment or it may be too late. We are an encouragement to everyone around us, whether we realize it or not. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 5. In verse 2, For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So we see that Jesus, here and elsewhere, it says that he will come like a thief in the night. We do not know with any certainty when that will be. But we have a sense of urgency here. And we see it in terms in the New Testament, that until the Lord comes, and Lord come quickly, we know he is coming back, and we need to be ready before he comes, so that we will not be too late. We know it will happen very suddenly, but we do not know when and why, or when and where. We cannot waste time, because it is not the wise thing to do. By wasting time, it could mean destruction and eternal death. Most of us will procrastinate quite a bit during our lifetimes. A joke that I heard once was, tomorrow is a magical land where everything gets fixed, repaired, and made better, but very few people seem to make it there. The same could be said of heaven. It is a glorious place that few will ever see because of putting off their obedience. By making excuses and procrastinating, they choose instead to continue the way they are in sin. They put off doing what it takes to be right with God until it is too late. And we all have a hope of heaven, or you wouldn't be here tonight. The fact is, we all have this hope, possibly a vision in our heads of what heaven will be like, each and every one of us. To some of us, it might be a little different, but it represents something that is set in stone and will not vary at all. That is, heaven is only one of two places that we see in the Bible that all of us will eventually end up. It requires work to get in. It's not open to anyone, but only a few, the Bible tells us. We have to be careful along the way that we don't push things till tomorrow and that we are dealing with the fate of our souls, which should give us a sense of urgency. Is the resting place for all of eternity, and it is not something that we should be careless about. Encourage today while it is still today. Here this gives us in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort or encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of your sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. And here we are given an idea of exhorting one another and not putting it off till tomorrow, exhorting one another today, so that our hearts will not be hardened. This gives us the idea that maybe our hearts could be a little too hard for an encouraging word or an exhortation to reach into it if we wait until tomorrow. We see examples of this in the Bible, such as Exodus chapter 7, where the Pharaoh of Egypt hardened his heart against Moses and against Aaron, and would not let them take their people away from his slavery. It's a very dangerous thing for us to allow our hearts to become hard. We are no longer able to allow others in and ultimately allow Jesus to affect us, to mold us towards the image that we clearly see in the Bible that he wants us to copy and to imitate. We have to keep an open mind when it comes to our current state of salvation, that we do not harden our hearts, that we do not think that once we accept God and once we are baptized, that ends it, and that we're automatically granted a get-out-of-hell-free card. We're just automatically accepted into the kingdom of heaven, because that's not how it works. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." We see elsewhere in the Bible that we do have to live faithfully, or else we will not inherit the kingdom of God. We should always remember to encourage and exhort one another every time we meet together. Don't put it off till tomorrow. It helps us to keep in the front of our minds the goal that we have and a hope of heaven. It helps us to stay positive and to overcome doubts and fears that we may have in the back of our minds. And it helps us to continue to dream of our home of heaven. We are also told in the Bible, Galatians 6 and Matthew 18, that we are to confront someone when we see them sin. This continues the same thought that we are to do encouraging things and to encourage people immediately and today. When you see someone sin, we are told to talk to that person, to confront them. It implies immediately, not tomorrow. It says when you see someone sin. We are told to confront them immediately and then go back, if they fail to listen, with one or two others. The idea being that when someone sins, they have to make an effort to return and repent, or else they are not right with God. And if you make more than one effort to confront them, and they still do not listen, it is up to the local church then, and eventually it is up to God to change their mind and to make them repent towards him. Galatians 1 verse 6 also warns us. It says to be careful that we are not also tempted while confronting someone in sin. So how can we be a better encouragement to others? Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Starting in verse 12. It says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good." And in verse 22 it says, "Abstain from every form of evil." Here we see a list of things that we are encouraged to follow. Verse 12, recognize those who labor among you and are working hard to make you more comfortable here in the church and while you're worshiping. Esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Verse 14, warn the unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient to all. See that no one renders evil for evil. Always pursue good for yourself and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. And in verse 22, the King James Version says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." And the New International Version translates it as, "Reject every kind of evil." Whatever translation or version you read from, it means the same thing, that we are to stay as far as possible from evil as we possibly can. So I hope that you have taken away something from this lesson tonight. While we are not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I think that it states it very clearly in the Bible that we are to be an encouragement to others, and that our example is seen by people not with us right now. They are seen by our neighbors who see us drive out every single Sunday to come here and to make an effort to be here on time every morning and every evening on a Sunday. It is our given duty to encourage and exhort the brethren here so that they may not fall by the wayside. It helps us to grow as a church, both in strength of faith and in strength of numbers as well. This just about wraps up my sermon for tonight. I hope that you have been encouraged by it. I have certainly learned a lot during this preparing of this lesson. And if nothing else, then take away Hebrews 10:25. It is a verse that we all should remember and should probably memorize. So, before I leave, I'd like to extend an invitation for those here tonight. If you are perhaps at a position where you wish you were more encouraging to the people around you, or you have sinned and wish to repent and turn back to God, then this is your chance to make yourself right with God. It takes an effort, but you're among friends here who will definitely encourage you, whatever you decide to do. Why don't you come forward now as we stand and as we sing?